Welcome back to Leading Through Life. I'm your host today, Brooks Clifford, and today on the podcast we have Mary Marvin, current mayor of my hometown, Bronxville, New York. Thank you, Ms. Marvin, for taking time to come on our podcast.
You're welcome. I love being here.
For our listeners at home, here's a little background on Mary Marvin. Ms. Marvin grew up in Watervliet, a small town in Albany County, where she first gained an appreciation for living in a small community. She graduated from the local high school and went to Wellesley College, and then got her law degree at the University of Pennsylvania and went on to practice at several law firms. Ms. Marvin moved to Bronxville in 1989 and immediately immersed herself within the community. She took leadership roles at the Eliza Corin Frost School, the Bronxville School, the Bronxville School Foundation, and the Bronxville Adult School, Bronxville Seniors, and Friends of Concordia College, among others. She joined the Village Zoning Board, which was seeking both a lawyer and gender balance, became a Village Trustee, and then onto her current role as mayor. Finally, Ms. Marvin has two children named Caroline and Brad. Is there anything that I missed that you'd like to add?
No, it sounds you got it all factually correct.
Great. But today we're here to talk about leadership. How would you describe your leadership style?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I think I would describe it as quiet. Okay. In a good way. I don't like to lead sort of top down. I like the ideas to germinate, to be organic, and then I follow through with ideas that have been generated by the people that I govern. And I also like it to be a very listening leadership. I mean, you learn so much by not talking, but listening to your constituents. But at the same time, I always say to people, don't confuse politeness for weakness, because you can be gracious and calm, but still, you know, frankly, have a backbone.
Definitely. Definitely a different type of leadership than we've heard from a lot of others, but so far in your leadership position, it's working amazing.
Well, you know, I think you also have to know the people. You mm-hmm. know, there's that great book about leadership, and they say you lead by walking around. Mm-hmm. And I make it a point to walk everywhere and talk to anybody that wants to tell me anything about the village. And in that way, I'm also able to stave off some problems, because people tell me about something before it germinates. It's a huge benefit to me to completely connect with the constituents.
Great, yeah. From my experience, local government seems very involved. Everyone in Bronxville seems very involved community in every single thing that you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the most important things that happen to people in their government lives happen at the local level. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot stay and be in touch with your local representatives, and where can you be in touch?
Definitely.
So I see my journey as a complete two-way street.
Definitely. Why did you initially decide to run for mayor?
You know, I love government, and I actually love politics. My very first job was working for Governor Nelson Rockefeller when I grew up outside of Albany, and I had a job there. And then I actually went to the White House with him when he became Vice President of the United States under Gerald Ford.
Wow.
And I just got the government political bug and have stayed involved ever since. And you know, in a small town, you start out volunteering at the school mm-hmm. for your children. And then my children went off to, you know, school and college, whatever. And so it was a natural transition to move into government, because frankly, I love it. So it's been in my blood the whole time, my joy for government. And I used to love politics a lot more than I do now, because it was, when I was involved, it was very collaborative. It was very moderate. It was very cross the aisle to make solutions. So I'm less enthralled with politics now than I was 10 years ago, to be honest.
And what was your kind of first leadership role, or how did you learn to be a leader initially?
You know, I actually sort of credit my education. I think Wellesley College was, you know, probably the best thing that ever happened to me mm-hmm. because being all women, with very strong women, a strong academic, you were the ones you had to speak up in class, and you sort of gave the nod to no one else. There was a real sense of, you know, just being a strong woman. And I went to college in the mid-70s when the women's movement was really sort of at its beginning. And I learned a lot from, you know, watching my classmates. And then when I got to law school, my law school class was still very much more male, but I came from the Wellesley background where I wasn't afraid to speak up. So I would almost say my college experience really gave me a lot of skill sets. And, you know, to be a leader, I always say you also have to learn how to write well and communicate well, both written and verbally. And I learned that in both college and law school. So I loved school. I'd go back tomorrow if I could.
Do you think college is needed to be a leader, or are there other ways of learning those skills, such as like in jobs or in the field or stuff like that?
I absolutely don't think college is a prerequisite. Mm-hmm. I think you need to find the avenue that you're afforded to be a leader. Mm-hmm. Whether it's taking over a volunteer program, picking up on a cause. You know, it's also, I think, very instructive to watch other people who lead, read about them. And there's nothing wrong with having goals or examples mm-hmm. of other people and how you want to conduct yourself. Mine just happened because I was fortunate enough to go to college, but so many avenues to become a leader.
Definitely. In February of this year, you honored the girls varsity soccer team and the girls cross country team at the award ceremony at the Bronxville School. And in your speech, you said to them, you exhibited my two favorite things about women. We have a little bit of grit and a little bit of grace. Are there challenges that you have to overcome when being a woman in law and running like in the government field?
Well, you know, I still think sometimes you can, yes, as I said before, sometimes people confuse politeness for weakness. Mm-hmm. And you can be a very kind, a very open person, but you can also, you cannot be afraid to stand up for yourself or what you believe in. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always grew up that I was no better than anybody else, but no one else was better than I was, mm-hmm. that we were all on equal footing. And that's kind of how I view people, I view myself. And, you know, sometimes you got to go inside and pull up pull up all you have sometimes. And you know, the most important thing is be authentic, be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad used to tell me never lie, because then you never have to have a good memory. Because the truth is the truth. So you don't have to remember what story you gave somebody. So I just think you've got to be, part of it comes from knowing yourself and being authentic, and just work on your strengths and work on your weaknesses.
Definitely.
I mean, one of the toughest things in any job and is public speaking. And so sometimes when you know, you got to make sure you have your skill sets, and then that gives you confidence.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Are there any other aspects of your life in which you use your leadership qualities?
You know, I think it all the, I stay very involved in charities and the things I care deeply about. Like I work on a after school program in Tuckahoe called Eastchester Community Action Program. And I definitely use my leadership skills in those kinds of things. So, you know, and my children would say in my own life, my leadership has translated into bossiness. So as they say sometimes, Mom, yours is a right way, but it is not the only way. Mm-hmm. And but I think it's a constant self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my barometer is if you can sleep at night and had done the right thing during the day, that's a day well spent.
Definitely. Were there some teachers or mentors that throughout your life, whether in school or in the jobs you initially took, that influenced you a lot and how you kind of lead today?
Yes. You know, I had one gentleman that sort of started when I mentioned that I worked for Governor Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. I always knew I wanted to be a lawyer, at least thought I did, and it ended up I did. And they put me in the office of the governor's counsel, who turned out to be this gentleman named Dick Parsons. And he went on to lead Dime Savings Bank. He led Citibank. He headed the MBA for a little while. And he was an extraordinary man and showed me, was very good to me as a young woman and made sure I was included in meetings. And I learned an awful lot about being prepared for things, how to conduct myself. I mean, I just would just watch him, and he was my model, and he didn't let me down. And then I had good writing teachers in college that taught me that words matter, and how careful you must choose your words, both in writing and speech, and those kinds of lessons stayed with me.
Definitely.
And then I had a great Irish grandmother who was probably the smartest, you know, finished sixth grade and was probably the wisest person I know. And I learned a lot about how to be humble, not to think too much of yourself, to care for other people. So so I was fortunate because I had very kind people around me throughout my life at different periods.
Definitely. Where do you think your leadership has had the greatest impact, maybe not just as being a mayor, but maybe on like specific people in town hall or in your charities or anything like that?
Well, you know, I think, and I don't credit at all myself, but I'd like to think I continued the very level of civility and kindness that I think is a hallmark of where you and I live. I think, you know, even when people come in and they're upset about something, they conduct themselves with such civility is the word. And I would like to think that it's, I've helped keep. Making sure people of different age groups know each other. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important that, you know, the senior citizens know the kids at the school, and people who don't have children know people who do have children. So I would like to think it's community spirit and civility that I've helped continue in the village.
Definitely. And through your many years of schooling and expertise in law, are there any specific important takeaways that have influenced your life or helped you?
Well, you know, I was thinking, I thought law school taught me in very few instances, things are not black and white. There are shades of gray, and that you really have to let a problem come in. You have to think about it. Things are not, life is often not yes, no answers. And, you know, I learned that in law school. And I think to be, have a deliberative process in your thinking. And I don't mean avoid making a decision, but boy, there's with few exceptions, there's positive things on both sides of issues. And I think the ability to appreciate that much of life is in the gray area is has helped me. Mm-hmm. And the ability to evolve and change your mind after you listen to people is, mm-hmm. is quite important. And I think I learned that at law school as well. I recommend law school if you have the good fortune to go. It shaped a lot of my thinking, and I would argue for the better.
Definitely. You just mentioned adaptation. Do you think adaptation and kind of evolving your ideas based on other people's ideas is important in government and in town hall and running local government?
Absolutely. I mean, I will tell you one of my most frustrating things when you see someone in state government or national government and they're criticized because their opinion is not the same as something they said 10 or 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, my heavens, I have more respect for them because they've evolved, they thought about it. So when you see some political person and they're criticized because 10 years ago they might not have been as had a different opinion, I applaud them. I mean, frankly, I am so thankful that my mind did not stay the same way it was at 18 or 28. So when I see somebody move a position, I have more admiration than gotcha kind of mm-hmm. stuff. You know, I often think of President Clinton in the beginning with the military. His view was don't ask, don't tell on sexual orientation. And that was the view of a lot of people in the country at that time. Mm-hmm. And he completely evolved into a much more open and accepting view. And I applaud people when they change like that. I don't, as they say, I just can't stand the gotcha kind of government.
Definitely. With the world is evolving so quickly today that you definitely need, your ideas definitely need to change and evolve in this climate.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, you're not thinking and you're not letting things percolate and you're not studying, because if your eyes your ideas don't change. You're a pretty stagnant person.
Yeah, definitely. Finally, would you have any advice for people who may want to go into government in the future, or even working with charities or any of the other law fields you've participated in?
I would say get out there. Don't be afraid. And just put yourself out there, and it's okay to lose. It's okay to, you know, I went to a wonderful commencement talk. I think it was my son's graduation, and the speaker said, for once, join the losing team. Join something that's not guaranteed success. You know, we all kind of try to get on the bandwagon, the established charities and the good girls, and he said, do yourself a favor and don't be afraid to perhaps join a losing team, and don't be afraid to lose. Mm-hmm. Just get out there is what I would say.
Do you think you can definitely learn a lot from being, I guess, like not getting what you want initially?
Oh, I think in many ways, I know it sounds trite, but I think you learn a lot more from your mistakes than your successes, you know? And I believe in the old adage, it's not how you fall, it's how you get up. And I learned a lot of things that, you know, in retrospect, you would have done differently. And now you pause. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is life, as they say. This one isn't a dress rehearsal. This is it. And so you're going to take the ups and downs. And, you know, as they say, don't be afraid to join the dance. Get out there.
Definitely. Wow. This has been really fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really been a pleasure to have you. For our listeners at home, keep your eyes.
I was going to say the pleasure is all mine. Thank you, Brooks.
Thank you. For our listeners at home, keep your eyes open for the next episode of Leading Through Life. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.